Well, good morning, everybody. If the children have not left, then Allie is downstairs. We want to encourage you to go and be a part of that. Amen. I think everybody's already gone that's going to be going. So, huh? Y'all children, stay there. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, last Sunday we celebrated Mother's Day, so I kind of was in between the beginning and now what will be the ending sermon on that series about why are there so many hypocrites. I started part one 2 weeks ago, and we're going to finish it up today. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 23.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. How many of you are glad you're in God's house? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I can't think of any better place to be. It's always great to come into the house of the Lord. And serve Him and worship Him. And today we're going to honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the death that He died on that cross for each and every one of us by remembering Him through the observance of the Lord's Supper, which is always a special time in the life of a believer. I hope you understand that. Jesus paid it all, amen?
Amen.
And all to Him we owe. We owe our very existence to Him, and our very existence in the afterlife will be determined as to how we pick and choose our pathways the rest of this life. And I hope and pray you've chosen Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
That's what I'm hoping for. Matthew chapter 23. We're going to read verses 23 through 28. All of you that can, please stand to your feet in honor of reading God's word. Beginning with verse 23 of Matthew chapter 23. It says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, then the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Father God, we just ask now you add your blessings to the reading of your word. Let nothing I say the next few minutes be from me or about me, but let it all resonate about you and from you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we talked about in part one, there's three characteristics that I gave you that a born-again believer should be exhibiting. I want to just take a second and I want to go back over those with you. The first one is this: real Christians are forgiven sinners. We're forgiven. We're no better than anybody else. We're just a forgiven sinner. You understand the difference? If you're not a born-again believer, you're right now an unforgiven sinner. Amen? But once you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're a forgiven sinner. Notice I said sinner. You're not a forgiven saint. You won't be that until you get to heaven one day. Amen? We're still sinners. I told you, 6 years ago, you hired a sinner for your preacher. Can you do any better than that? Amen? Everybody's looking at me like, what? What's he talking about? Guys, I just want to let you know I struggle just like you struggle. And I'm going to continue to struggle as long as I'm in this fleshly, earthly body. I can't escape it. Just because I'm a pastor, I can't escape that. So I'm going to be faced with that just like you guys are. But you know what? Christians are forgiven sinners, praise God. The second thing is this: real Christians are not what they used to be. You know, here's the problem with a lot of people. They want to point a finger at you and they want to say, so-and-so has done this and so has done that. Why don't we start looking at how far so-and-so's come? Amen. Let's look at how far they've come from where they used to be. Because that's something that kind of bugs me. You know what? I'm not where I want to be, but I'm a whole lot better than I used to be. Amen. I'm a whole lot better than I used to be. And that's the way we need to look at things. Real Christians are not what they used to be. And the third thing I mentioned to you was real Christians are becoming what they will be. Praise God. We are becoming what we will be one day when we're in the presence of Jesus Himself. Won't that be a great day? Can I get an amen out of the deacons? Amen. That's going to be a great day, isn't it? It's going to be a great day when we can stand in the presence of Jesus. And guess what? We can cast our crowns at His feet and we will receive That reward that's been set up for us.
Amen.
That's going to be an awesome thing, isn't it? We're working toward that. We're not there yet. We got a lot of imperfection along the way that's going to come out and go present itself, but we're working toward that. Now, Jesus was harsh on hypocrites. Jesus does not like hypocrites. I didn't say he didn't love them. I said he doesn't like them. He had a lot of harsh words to say about the Pharisees, didn't he? Just right here in this material that we've read, there were countless numbers of mentionings of the word hypocrite and blind guides and all this other kind of stuff. Jesus didn't hold back when he talked about the hypocrisy that was present there and how these hypocrites and all were back in his day. And you know what? I've just got one page. It's just out of whack here somewhere. Y'all bear with me a minute. I'm like, where's my pages at here? But let me just say this, guys. There are some cures to hypocrisy, okay? There's some cures that Jesus talks about in his word here. Let's look at this first one right here, verse 23 and 24. First of all, we need to not be so worried about the particulars as we are on focusing on Jesus, amen? That's what we need to be focusing on. He said in verse 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You pay a tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law." He said, "You blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." You know what he's trying to say here is, all you're concerned about are the little bitty insignificant things that are going on in your life. You see, back in those days, it was considered unclean if a bug came into your cup and died there before you got him out. Well, a gnat was not really classified as being one of those unclean things. So what Jesus is saying here is, even though that gnat is really not part of the law that you're trying to enact here, you're more concerned with straining that gnat out of that cup while you'll sit there and you'll drink a camel and gulp him down whole, which is an unclean animal. In other words, quit worrying about the stupid, insignificant things and do what I've called you to do. That's what Jesus is trying to say to him here. He's trying to say, you blind guides, we strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy the things that the Pharisees were concerned with. They were concerned about those little bitty insignificant things, when in reality they needed to be concerned about what was important. Then he goes on to say here, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. In other words, don't be worried about all the legalities. You ought to be worrying about mercy, justice, love, kindness, all those fruit of the Spirit that we've talked about in Galatians chapter 5. Instead, you're worried about insignificant things. Let me tell you something, folks. When you get to the point in your life where you're more worried about the outside than you are the inside, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Let me tell you something. When I first came here, I felt a sense that people were worshiping this building more than they were worshiping Jesus. Well, I'm happy to say I feel like it's kind of taking a reversal now. I feel like you're more concerned about worshiping Jesus, because let me tell you something. Jesus don't need no building in order to come in and fellowship with you. He don't need no bricks and mortar. And I'm going to tell you something. When we finally do, I didn't say if we do. I said when we finally get this building we've been praying to God for, and we have to come out here in this parking lot, I don't want to hear any arguing about it. I don't think we ought to take down that tree. That tree's been here 200 years. Woo! That tree's going to be gone. Amen. And we're going to be glorifying Jesus because of it.
Amen.
So you see, don't worry about the insignificant things. We're worried about the outside. We ought to be worried about the inside, because it's because of the inside that we look good on the outside. Amen?
Amen?
It's because of the inside. See, the Pharisees didn't get that. They were all concerned about the outside. Oh, yeah, the fancy robes. Man, when they were fasting, oh, they just messed their face up to try to make people. They wanted to make people say to them, "What's wrong with you?" You ever had somebody just walk up to you and say, "What's wrong with you?" Looking at you like something's wrong. You ought to say, "Nothing's wrong with me. I'm on fire for the Lord. I'm serving Jesus. I might not look too good on the outside, but praise God, I'm feeling fine on the inside." Amen. I'm looking good on the inside. I wish you could crawl inside me and take a look. You'd see a whole lot better picture. Amen.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be great? Thank the Lord. He looks at our inside, not our outside. Amen. Somebody be in trouble. Amen. Weezy just stepped up to the plate. Amen. But guys, in all seriousness, Jesus didn't have a lot of room for hypocrisy. People were more concerned about the little insignificant things. The second thing that we need to do as far as a cure for hypocrisy is this. We need to intensify the internal. We need to intensify what's going on inside us. Let's look at verse 25 and 26. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Guys, if you like drinking coffee like I do, you ever left your coffee cup sitting around with a little bit of coffee in it for 2 or 3 days? What starts happening inside there? It starts molding, doesn't it? And if you're not careful, you'll forget about that and you'll just gulp that mold right down. Amen. Anybody ever done that? Anybody want to confess to that? Thank the Lord you look before you drink. Amen. Amen. You got to always look before you drink. You can't just start gulping because there could be some bad stuff on the inside. What Jesus was saying here to the Pharisees is this. You need to intensify what's going on inside and not be so concerned about the outside. You could take the worst looking house in Greene County. You could cut all the bushes out from around it and fix the yard up and paint that house and make it look great on the outside. You might walk through the front door and fall right through down into the ground. Amen. Why? Because the house is falling apart on the inside. You got to always start with the foundation, then build out. Amen. See, Jesus starts on the inside and then he permeates to the outside of us. He comes out of us. But he starts in us. The Pharisees couldn't do that. They were like a cup. It looked beautiful on the outside, but on the inside that cup was dirty. On the inside that cup had some filth in it. That cup had some mold growing in it. Jesus is talking about the danger of externalizing religion. You can't externalize it. You've got to internalize it. It's so easy for us to focus on religious routines, isn't it? Oh, we didn't do this right. We've always done it this way. We shouldn't be doing it that way. Let me tell you something. Jesus ain't interested in routines, amen. He's interested in what's right here. He's interested in what's in your heart, what your motives are. I don't care what you came to church in. I don't care. Now, I'm talking about cars right now. I'm glad you do have clothes on, amen. We do at least need to have some clothes on, amen. But I don't care what kind of clothes you got on. You know what? Jesus isn't concerned with all that. We are concerned with that. I choose to wear a coat and tie. But you know what? I don't care if you wear jeans. I don't care if you come in here barefooted. Because let me tell you something Jesus did. Jesus didn't dress up. He didn't wear those fancy Pharisaic robes and those big fancy hats. No, he came in smelling like a goat. Amen. Jesus didn't care about that kind of stuff. You know why? Because that wasn't important to him. What was important to him is what's here. What's on the inside? What have you got on the inside? Because if all you got's on the outside, you ain't got much. Amen. You ain't got a whole lot. But if you got some good stuff on the inside that Jesus can work with, then it's going to be a whole lot better for the outside. Now some of you can just forget it. Your outside ain't going to get no better. Amen. I'm just being honest with you, hey? I ain't looking at anybody. I'm looking up at the ceiling when I say that, amen? Some of you, as good as you're going to get on the outside, amen? But you can get a whole lot better on the inside. Amen. You can get a whole lot better on the inside, amen? That's why we don't have mirrors in my house, amen? We don't worry about what we look like on the outside, amen? You might want to go home and take all the mirrors out of your house, amen? Guys, if you want to be cured from living a counterfeit life, then you need to intensify the internal in you. You need to keep your insides clean. Jesus made one more strong mention to the Pharisees here. Probably one of the strongest and most verbal things that Jesus said about a group of people in all the New Testament. Look at what he said in verse 27 and 28. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Let me tell you what they used to do back in this day. As the Passover approached, now this is how the Pharisees thought. If they even, they believed that even if your shadow touched up against a tomb, you could be considered unclean for a period of time. They didn't believe in touching dead folks. Lord, we all over in that casket sometimes, amen. I've hugged my loved ones and kissed them on the forehead and patted their hand. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But they didn't believe in that. In Numbers chapter 19, verse 11, it said, anyone who touched the dead body was unclean for a week. So, they even felt like, hey, if your shadow even goes up against one of these tombs, you could be considered unclean. So here's what they did. Before the Passover, they took some whitewash and just whitewashed all the tombs in that area so people could identify where the tombs were so they'd be sure not to go beside them. Isn't that stupid? That's crazy. Who would, I mean, first of all, just to think that if my shadow touches that, I'm going to be unclean. Because, folks, if you got some Jesus, you've been washed white as snow, amen?
Amen.
Amen. It don't matter about what you used to look like, about what's on, what used to be your external self. You've been washed by the blood of Jesus. So that's what you're about on the inside. They were all concerned about that. So that's why they painted those, so that when the people came in for the Passover, they could walk way away from that so that their shadow didn't even come in contact with it. Pharisee mentality. I hate to say it, but a lot of churches are full of Pharisee mentality in them today. They're all about the ritualistic and legalistic aspects instead of the Jesus-listic aspects. Amen? Is that a word?
Yes.
It is now. Amen? You know, they're not concerned enough about Jesus. They're concerned about all the following this rule and that. Don't get me wrong. We've got to have some bylaws in the church in order for it to function. I understand that. But that shouldn't consume us. And that shouldn't define who we are at Bethesda Baptist Church. Those are some guidelines we set. But we are serving Jesus Christ here. We are serving the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I hope and pray you got the Holy Ghost of God living inside you. Because if you don't, then what I'm saying isn't making a whole lot of sense to you. But guess what? You can understand about it. We'll talk to you about it. We want you to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus here at this church. And we want you to feel like you can come in an unthreatening environment. Because you know what? Jesus told his disciples, when they were questioning him, even his disciples were like, Lord, why do we hang around with these undesirable people all around us here? You know what Jesus told them? It's probably one of the most important things he ever told them. He said, it's not the well who need a doctor, it's the sick. I have been called to go to the sick. The well people, some of them think they're too good for me to come and for me to talk to them. Those were the Pharisees. Oh, they knew everything about everything, but they couldn't even recognize Jesus Christ, the Son of God, walking and talking right in front of them. How crazy is that? There was Jesus right there. They still acted like he wasn't who he was. And guess what? There's plenty of churches in America today doing the same thing. They come in here, they dress up, they come driving a fancy car, and I'm not knocking that. Please understand what I'm saying. I'm just saying if that's all you're about, you're missing the mark, guys. You're missing out on so much Jesus has for you. Jesus loves you. Do you love him? Do you love him the way he loves you? There's an old song called, Oh, How I Love Jesus. And then in part of that song it says, because he first loved me. He loved me before I was even created. Before I was even thought about, he already knew about me and you. That's something you got to understand. So you see, Jesus told these guys, you're actually just full of dead men's bones inside. You're full of decay and dead stuff inside. You're all concerned about the outside. They were not only internally dirty, they were also dead on the inside spiritually. I want to ask you today, are you alive spiritually inside or are you dead? Are you full of dead men's bones? Are you full of the spirit of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God? Does he live inside your heart? Does the Holy Spirit of God live inside your heart? Or are you spiritually dead? Because guys, what you do out in that world, we've talked about this before, is going to dictate if your heart's for Jesus. If it's not, it's going to show. Guess what? You can't fool people. If you want to keep putting this mask on and make them think you're this goody-goody two-shoes kind of person out there in real life, but in reality, behind closed doors, you're somebody different. You're living a life of sin. You're misleading people about who you are. That's what the Pharisees did. And Jesus was pointing it out to them, and he had some very harsh words to them. Now, I want to say this. I love you anyway. I don't care if you are the worst hypocrite in America, but I hope you understand what Jesus expects of you. He expects us as born-again believers to do better. How are we going to reach a lost and dying world when we can't even reach ourselves? We got to be able to reach a lost and dying world through the love of Jesus flowing out of us. See, the Pharisees couldn't get that. They were above such foolishness as that. That's the way they felt. Nah, this is foolishness. This man is not the Son of God. This is blasphemous. So what did they do? They hung him on a cross. But guess what? God already had a plan even in that. Amen. He already had a plan even in that. And even though they did that and Jesus came and he died for all of us, we still have victory. We still have victory. Do you want hope today? And I say fellow hypocrite because at times I act like a hypocrite too. But the only difference between me and the Pharisaic hypocrites we read about, I know who's in charge and I know I better get straight before he starts having to kind of kick me around a little bit. See, that's what I understand. They didn't understand that. And if you're not getting the picture now, I want to explain something to you. You just need some Jesus in your heart. You need to come into the presence of Jesus. And you need to let him come into your heart and he can start taking you from the inside and cleaning all those dead bones out, cleaning all that junk out from inside you, and he can make you into the beautiful vessel he wants you to be. And I'm talking about beautiful from the inside. I'm not always talking about beautiful from the outside, okay? So please understand that. I've heard people say they'd be more interested in following Christ if there weren't so many hypocrites. People say sometimes, preacher, I just can't come to that church. There's too many hypocrites. You know what I tell them? Well, hey, there's room for one more. Why don't you come next Sunday? Amen. There's always room for one more. There's always room for another one. Because guess what? We're not going to escape that. There are going to be people who live a double life. You know why? Because a lot of them are what we talked about weeks ago, lukewarm. They don't understand about Jesus. They think they do, but they really don't. You see, if you want to change, if you want to truly become somebody you've never been before, that change has to take place on the inside. And there's only one change agent I know that can do that in the lives of some people, and that's Jesus. You know what? I've heard people tell me over and over, preacher, you might as well forget about them. You're wasting your time on them. They're terrible, awful people. They're never going to come to church. They're not going to come to know Jesus. I'm going to tell you what. Jesus is the only hope for some people, amen. Yeah, you're right. I might not can convince them, but I tell you one thing. The person that created them, the person who is in charge of them, the person who knows the very numbers of hairs on their head, he can bring about a circumstance that will bring them back. So we just got to have the faith. We got to continue on. We cannot forget about that. We cannot just cast people over to the side. I know a change agent, and his name is Jesus, amen. He is a change agent. He will bring about change if you let him. But if you resist him, he's not going to force his way inside you. He's not going to force you to change. You might say, well, I ain't going to quit doing that. Well, that's fine. You go ahead and keep doing it. But one day when you're standing in front of Jesus and he says this, or no, you say this, Lord, Lord, I healed the sick in your name. I cast out demons in your name. And he looks you right in the eyes and he says, depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. That's going to be some pretty powerful words, isn't it? But guess what? Billions of people are going to hear that. You know how I know that? Because we've been doing an in-depth study in the book of Revelation. And when John gave us the dimensions of heaven, it wasn't real big. It wasn't but about 2,000 or a little bit over 2,000 square miles big. You know why? Because unfortunately, there's not going to be that many people there. There's going to be way more people in hell than there is in heaven. But guys, there's still time to change. As long as you got breath in your body, you can experience the love of Jesus in your life, but you cannot continue to wait. Look at the things that have happened. The four young girls, I just praise God they were all born again believers that got killed in that wreck. But I understand two of their families are not. So we need to pray for them. We need to pray that through this they'll come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And this is the kind of circumstance. Who knows? Jesus may have took the lives of those girls so their parents could be reunited with them one day. You never know what Jesus is up to. You can't question what he's doing. Because he's always a step ahead of us. He's always looking out for us. So I want to encourage you today. We're going to have a little altar time, and then we're going to go back to our seat and observe the Lord's Supper for a minute. Guys, I want to encourage you to join the ranks of forgiven sinners. We're all in this thing together. We're all sinners. We're born of sin. We're living in sin. We're surrounded by sin. It ain't going to get any better until we get to heaven one day, those of us that are born again believers. But the first step is you got to invite Jesus in. You're not going to get there by being good. You're not going to get there by coming to church every Sunday, although those are important things. You're going to get there by confessing and believing on the name of Jesus. That's the only way. And Jesus loves you, man. I wish I could just pound that into some people's heads. Jesus loves you despite how you are and despite who you are. He loves you and he can use you for his service. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for each and every person that's here. I just pray now, Lord, as we open up this altar for a few minutes, God, that we'll have some people come up here, Lord, and just pray. Just, Lord, lay down some things in their lives. And God, we just give you the praise for being here. Lord, we're all going to be hypocritical at times. That's just going to happen. But Lord, we don't have to be a hypocrite by character. And Lord, I just hope and pray that we can understand that. You know, we can't get on to people too bad in a church who don't know you. I mean, how can we expect them to act any differently if they don't know you? And I just hope and pray that they're not basing their actions on what they see in some of us. Lord, I pray you'll help us straighten our lives up so we can help show some Jesus to some other people. And Father, we just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What song are we going to sing?
We'll do 387.
387, real quick. We're going to just have a few minutes. If you want to come up to the altar and pray, page 387. I'm going to ask if you'll stand, then we'll sit back down when we observe the Lord's Supper in just a minute.